All right, so if you guys have the booklet and your Bible, okay, your booklet and your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 1, if you would, in your Bible. And in the booklet, you could turn to page 35. How do you say, página 35? Page 35, where it says Declaration of Independence. And turn your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 1. I want to start you off by reading this. Stand with me if you're able to, please. We're going to pick up at Romans 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you are the only God. You tell us in the very first verse, in the beginning, it was just you, God. You were the only one that was there from the beginning. There's no big bang. We just had a big God. And you created the heavens and the earth. And if we could believe that first verse in the entire Bible, good Lord, we can believe the rest of what you tell us throughout your word, which you have spoken. And we ask that you would please help us here. Thank you for the freedoms again that you gave us because of your love. You sent your only begotten son, Jesus, our great high priest, our Messiah, our Lord, our friend, who died on the cross for our sins. We confess to you we are sinners. And Jesus, you're our Savior, who died on the cross for all of our sins. We believe the world's sins. And you rose from the grave, just like you prophesied. You ascended into heaven. You poured out your Spirit. And now you want us to not just receive you as Savior, but to follow you as the Lord of our lives. Help us, Lord. And thank you for the founding fathers of this nation. Yes, we believe that this nation was built upon those that believed in you. They weren't evolutionists, they were creationists. They believed in a God. They were not atheists. And you gave them freedom. Many of them, we believe, were saved. They were born again. So they understood that you gave us freedoms in Christ, and they wanted to exercise those freedoms, Lord. And so help us here to see those freedoms, those liberties you gave the founding fathers, and that still apply. We have these rights that are in your word. You gave us as born again, spirit-filled children, but we have them here in America, Lord. Help us to see these things. They come from you. So thank you for these things. Encourage and empower us to learn you and your word and your ways. We ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys can have a seat if you would. So hold on to the booklet. Hold on to your Bibles. I want to open with a quote. Who here has seen this movie called A Great Awakening? A bunch of us just seen it this Wednesday. Great movie. You can see it on Amazon. We bought it. Here's what Benjamin Franklin was quoted in the movie as saying. I know this is what he said because I actually paused the movie and I grabbed this quote. "Liberty is not a gift given to them by a king, but a right given to them by God." Now, you probably already know this, but today in America, we've got a lot of people who already forgot the past. And if you grew up in public school like I did, I'm 57 right now. I graduated high school. Shouldn't have graduated, I don't think. But graduated high school in California, Garden Grove, Orange County, California, in 1986. I'm kind of aging myself here. But when I went through the public school system in California, I do know this, that I was not really taught the things about America and our beliefs that you're going to learn today, that we're even going to see in here and in God's Word. But who here grew up going to public school? I think that's virtually all of us, right? So most of you probably are in the same boat as me. Let me throw this out there. And if you were in the 10 a.m. servants meeting, you can't answer this. Well, let me ask you guys this. Why do we celebrate July 4th? It's a question. Independence Day, independence from the British. Any other guesses? freedom. Okay. All right. This is the reason why we need to learn these things, because you probably grew up like me, where I was an ex-DJ. As a DJ in the world, guess how we use July 4th? It's another day to party. Get drunk, barf out your guts. Next Friday, do the same thing, rinse, repeat. That was me BC days, before walking with Christ. My guess is that's probably at least a couple of you. Was that any of you? Okay. Just another excuse, dumb excuse to get drunk. Why? Because without knowing God or Jesus or the Bible, this world's boring. Well, no wonder why people get drunk and barf out their guts and on drugs. I know because I was running that system, part of it, in California. And unfortunately, and then when God got a hold of me through Jesus Christ of working in nightclubs, promoting nightclubs, that's how sad it was for me. By the way, I remember even first coming here in 2002, I was still like, I don't know about sharing that testimony, God. That's kind of where I was still. I was like, this DJ, that's like so horrible. And I still feel that guilt, that weight of, I probably dragged hundreds, if not thousands of kids away from salvation through Jesus Christ. Of course, salvation is an individual thing, but still feel that guilt, like, ah, man. So I bear that weight, that burden. But God saved me through Jesus Christ. And when he turned on the light, so to speak, and got me saved, and I realized, like the DJ pulpit, that's kind of the opposite of this. And in the clubs or the parties, kids would come out, there's fellowship. There's music. So there's worship. I don't know if you guys understand that. It's like an opposite picture, Satan's picture for church life. Not just this capacity. You could be meeting at home. It's the same thing because you can worship God there, honor and praise and glorify him there. But he rescued me out of that. But what I'm saying is July 4th in the world was just another party day. And my guess is that's probably how it was with the majority, if not all of you, that grew up like me. The reason why you and I celebrate July 4th, 1776, is because of this, the Declaration of Independence. This is what we're going to get at today. And I'll tell you now, before we get into the slides that we go through it, on July 4th, 1776, the Founding Fathers, so to speak, adopted what we call the Declaration of Independence. They didn't sign it yet. They adopted it, gathered together, and they adopted that. And it was a way for them to kind of thumb their nose at Great Britain and the king and saying what? We declare our independence from who? From you. And dependence upon the real king. Amen? God. You need to know that, because that truth was hidden from me when I grew up through public school. And then after getting saved, and now we talk about like homeschooling our kids. The homeschooling curriculum is great. The Christian ones. We go through Abeka. I think it's called, right? And the kids learn these things. I'm like, this is great. I wasn't taught this. We're just taught the basics of what they are, but not what they stood for. Certainly not what the Founding Fathers believed in. And you and I today, we're going to find out that although people in America say that America wasn't founded upon a belief in God or belief in the Bible, they're wrong. They're liars. You cannot make a revision of history. So the revisionists, they're liars. And God is a God of truth. Amen? Jesus is the way, the... Oh, that's good. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible's the word of what? Truth. So God's a God of truth. The Spirit of God's a spirit of truth. But the devil is the father of lies. So when you know someone's lying in society, and it could be all throughout a lot of media, including social media, it doesn't matter, the multitude say it. Okay? Who was it? Joseph Goebbels. Who here remembers who Joseph Goebbels was? If you study marketing, Joseph Goebbels, he was one of Hitler's henchmen, like the marketing guru of Hitler's time. Joseph Goebbels. He said something like this in a study in marketing. A lie perpetuated becomes a truth. And that's why they were able to do their propaganda, their films, and lie. And saying, it's the Jews, it's this, it's that. And then got a whole nation to be indoctrinated. It's like a cult, right? And to believe and follow a lie. Okay, and they murdered millions of Jews, sadly. Okay. So if that's done by our media today or even through social media, shame on them. But you and I, as born again, spirit-filled Christians, we must be people of truth. Amen? We must be. It's not optional. You are a person of truth. You need to pray. Pray for me as I pray for you. Just pray and be people of truth. The church is a pillar and ground of the truth. If you don't know that, that's actually what it says in the New Testament. The church is a pillar and ground of the truth. That's what it says. Paul wrote that in the pastoral epistles. So this July 4th weekend, as you and I celebrate America's 250th birthday, this is a big thing, especially when America's coming under attack. You and I are going to take, we might say, a brief trip back in time today. We're going to see some of what our founding fathers thought. And you and I as Americans, I believe we need to simply get back to God, get back to the cross of Christ, get back to the Bible, and get back to prayer. Amen? So pray for us. Come out with us on Thursday. They asked me to intro and to lightly speak on basically what we're going to talk about today. Okay, praying for America to come back. For revival in America and revival in New York City. We need these things. So join us on Thursday with the other churches in Manhattan if you can. But America needs to come back to the cross of Jesus Christ. So I'm calling this today America at the Cross. It's where we need to be. I love that's our namesake, but that's where a lot of truth is. It came to us through Jesus and him dying on the cross for your sins and mine. Amen? And we need to know this. So today, you and I are going to see what I'll say is five references to God in here that you were not taught in public school, that our kids in homeschooling, pray for the homeschoolers. That's tough, right? One reason why we want to homeschool our kids is because, man, I don't want you to know lies like I was taught lies. Anybody here still believe in Santa Claus? You're laughing. You're smiling, right? Why? Why don't we? Because it's a lie, right? So we don't teach our kids about that. I mean, that's up to you for your household, but we don't tell our kids about that. Why? Because it's a lie. And we didn't want them to grow up, you know, believing that. And then later on, it's like, wow, if mom and dad taught me a lie about Santa Claus, maybe God or Jesus in the Bible is a lie too. Be careful about things we lie to or lie about. But today, you and I are going to see five references to God, God willing, in the Declaration of Independence. We'll also see another familiar symbol of American freedom that you already know of, but reveal to you what you may not know about it. Look at this here. Go to the preamble. This is page 35 in this booklet. Okay, I wanted to get this in your hand. Pray for us too, because Americans need to get more American. I mean, I don't know how to say it other than that, right? Americans should get more American. That's a controversial statement, right? You go talk to Mamdani, you know, and people in his woke cabinet, sorry, it is what it is, you might get blasted on social media by the woke far left. That is not us. We're not a woke church. If someone doesn't like it, I don't want to say sorry for your feelings, because we want to crucify the flesh and minister to you in the spirit. Amen? Okay? And that's what we're about here. But pray and bring others in. If you believe in this, in these things, then bring others in, because we need to celebrate together. Here's what it says, though, in the what's called the preamble, the very first sentence of the Declaration of Independence. I want you to see this. Today is not going to be a normal Bible study as we're going through the Bible, as you guys know. And next week, Sunday, we're going to do Baptism Sunday, but normally we're going through the book of Galatians. But look at this here. Again, page 35 in your booklet handout, Declaration of Independence. My guess is at least half of you have not read this within the last 10 years. Is that true for any of you? Okay. Including me, until I started studying this as a born-again Christian, wanting to know, actually, what does this say about God, Jesus, and the Bible? It's like, is it really there? Well, look at this. It's on the screen. We're going to read it too, together. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature, and get this, listen, and of nature's what? God. It's highlighted in color here on the display. Nature's God entitle them a decent respect to their opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. That's called the preamble, the opening statement of the Declaration of Independence. Notice, now I did not uppercase the G in that word God. Is this for secular? That may even be diminished to a lowercase G. I'm not sure. But this is actually from a government archives. So if you're wondering why Americans celebrate the 4th of July, it's not just like when I was growing up earlier, we were like, you know, whenever Will Smith's in one of those alien movies, killing aliens, you know, comes out on 4th of July, it's going to be a blockbuster hit. And how many of you have seen a Will Smith movie? And many of them come out on 4th of July, right? A lot of us Americans, we think of 4th of July, Will Smith, movie theater. Now he's like the slap guy. He's like, different connotation there. But if you're wondering why Americans celebrate 4th of July, Independence Day, it's because of this. Because on July 4th, 1776, the Continental Congress adopted, they didn't yet sign, they adopted this collectively together. The Declaration of Independence. They're declaring their independence from Great Britain and the King. Independence from the King in Great Britain, but dependence upon the real King, God Himself. Amen? And that's huge. Because this laid the foundation for what you and I are experiencing right now. This is experiential knowledge. Look around the room. We take this for granted in America. Can we do this right now in Iran? No. Can you do this right now in Russia? No. Can you do this right now in North Korea? No. China? No. There's underground churches in many of those places. Many countries. Can we celebrate and praise and pray in the name of Jesus like this? Loudly? As loud as we want. Right? And I can get loud. Or my wife, Susan, we'll go out on the sidewalk later on when we're doing outreaches out there. We'll actually put her on a microphone and blast it out. You're not coming in the church, that's okay. We're going to blast out and worship you. And then we can do outdoor preaching right there with a microphone on the sidewalk. Someone comes by and say, be quiet. It's like, we're going to pray for you. Maybe we'll go a little quieter. But I'm going to exercise my freedom. We can do that. Can you do that in many countries? No. Because of this, the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, that's why we can do this. That's why we can do homeschooling in this country. That's why we can grow up and, you know, exercise your freedom of speech, your freedom of religion we have. We take these things for granted. We might hear them, but we take them for granted. Okay, in this city, you can't own a gun. So we took our kids shooting recently. Guess what we had to do? We took them out of the city, go to a shooting range. Okay, we'd exercise that freedom, though, in the United States. Do you think you could do that in some of these other woke, communist-type countries? No. So pray for New York City, because it's definitely feeling like it's getting more communist here. Sorry, depending on how you view it. Okay, things are getting worse here. So this is the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. But clearly the founding fathers of America, they had God at the forefront of their minds. This is the opening statement, the opening argument before they started declaring their independence in this document. In the very first sentence, God is mentioned. That's why I wanted to highlight this, show it to you, so you could hear, whether you read it or my voice, and we put it in your hands so you could read it, because that was kept from me. Although I grew up benefiting from it. Although you, who here grew up through public schools in the United States of America, you benefited from this, but you didn't know this, did you? And this might be eye-opening today. So you're going to hear from the woke media. You're going to hear from people in the political spectrum. It's not a Republican, Democrat, independent thing. It's a spiritual warfare thing. You're going to hear that America was not built upon God or the Bible. And those are lies from the father of lies. Who? The devil. That does not come from God. And that certainly wasn't in the documents of our founding fathers. that gave us the abilities we have today. But maybe they got this from this verse that we read here. Look at this. Go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Notice in the statement here, it's on the display, it's in your hand, the Declaration of Independence, the preamble, the opening first sentence. Romans 1 verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So guess who created everything you and I see in what we call nature? God, right? And you and I grew up believing another lie, that it's Mother Nature, it's not Father God. That's another lie. Think about that. Let that sink in. Little subtle clues like that sway your theological mind and heart, don't they? To the point where you're like, no, I thought it was Mother Nature. We evolved. I came from monkeys and primordial ooze. No, you didn't. God created you in his image and likeness. You're created on purpose, with a purpose, his purpose. Not the world's, not our government's even. Amen? There's no mistakes with God. So in the very first sentence, God is mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. Maybe they got this from Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Since the creation of the world, his, speaking of God, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. So when you look at nature, when Paul wrote this in the book of Romans, just like David, the heavens declare, they understood that when you look up at the stars, you're like, there's no way that we evolved, that there's just a big bang. There's no way. Actually, that goes against the laws of thermodynamics. One of them is that everything goes from order to chaos. Okay, looking out in the crowd, I see a lot of the ladies, nice hair. You guys dressed. Hopefully some of you showered, at least this week. Okay, if you didn't this month yet, don't let me know. But I bet when you're all done, you're all did. Okay, you got yourself all done. When you look the best, feel your best, and it goes from order, you wake up the next day. Ladies, I don't wear makeup, but ladies, you ever like fall asleep with your makeup on, you get up the next day, it's all messed up all over your face. Half of it's on your pillow, right? Come on. I grew up with girls in the house. You go from order to chaos. Do you know what evolution preaches? And it requires faith, so it's a religion. Evolution preaches that everything came from nothing to something, and then from that something, chaos became order. It goes against the laws of physics, the laws of thermodynamics. So even those that say, oh, I believe the science. No, you don't. You're a liar. Because the laws that govern over the big laws of physics and thermodynamics, everything goes from order to chaos. You make up your room, it's messy later. You clean and pave the street, it's messy later. You do your hair, it's all did or done. Later on, oh, it's a mess. Some of you ladies, you go out in the humidity, you're like, oh, an hour later, I gotta do my hair again. It's the humidity. See, fellas, we don't have that problem. Those of you that have my hairstyle, right? You just shave it all. So everything goes from order to chaos. Maybe they were thinking of Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1. Another thing it preaches is there are no atheists, just people that suppress the truth, right? There are no atheists. Everybody does not have an excuse. So the atheist says, I don't believe in a God. The agnostics, like, don't even tell me, I don't care to know. They're liars, they're suppressing the truth. And guess what? That was me. My guess is that was at least half of you in the world. You just didn't want to admit. Because once you admit there is a God, guess what? You are accountable to him. And once you believe and say, this is the Bible is God's word, now you're accountable to read it, know it, and apply it. And you were running away from God, just like I was. Any of you all. That's how I was. Because once you admit, oh, you do exist. You didn't want to admit that. In your heart, you're like, oh, you're lying to yourself. That's how I was. Was any of you? That's how I was. Okay? We stopped running from God. So Romans chapter 1, God declares himself through nature. And those that are suppressing the truth, you and I might call them atheists or agnostics or, don't even tell me, I don't want to be accountable. Okay? They're suppressing the truth. They got no excuse. God's going to hold them accountable too. And you and I need to tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen? Because they're going to be held accountable to God. That's Romans chapter 1. Notice this in the very next sentence. Now, when the Declaration of Independence starts here, you can look again in your booklet, page 35. You've heard this before. And if you see that other Will Smith movie, guess which one I'm going to mention here. Was it? Pursuit of Happiness. Any of you seen that? Even Grandma and Grandpa like that movie. And they didn't understand it was in English. Any of you guys see that movie? Pursuit of Happiness? Guess where they get that from? At least the title of the movie. From this. See, some of you are like, oh yeah, I think I understand what that's from. Now you're going to read it and know it. Not the Will Smith movie version, but you're going to see it here from the Declaration of Independence. It's on the screen too. And it's in your booklet. We hold these truths. This is now the opening to the Declaration of Independence. After they had opened for this opening argument or preamble, that first sentence where they mention God, nature's God. Now here's the opening. We hold these truths to be self-evident. What are the self-evident truths? In other words, you don't even have to preach it. It's like, it's the truth. Everybody knows it. That's what that means. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Now, today's society, you can say people, men, women, children. Okay, they just stuck with the three-letter English word there. All men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator. Notice it's capital C, referring to deity. Okay. Their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are, you guys know this line. This is already popularized in America. This is part of Americana. We know this, although people don't know the Declaration of Independence. These are life, liberty, and the movie, right? The pursuit of happiness. Did they spell it with a Y in that one? H-A-P-P-Y-N-E-S. I'm not sure. They did? I can't remember. All men are created equal. Notice this. In this sentence, we have two references to God. All men are created equal. It's self-evident. So they're saying this is a truth. It's self-evident. You don't even have to preach this. You don't even have to convince anybody, is what they're saying. It's self-evident. Now today, you might go, well, we got some people that's, it's not evident to them. Anybody have any relatives? It ain't evident to them. Okay? Self-evident. All men are created equal. So notice this. And I put Genesis 1 verse 27 here. This is because Genesis 1, turn to there, by the way, in your Bible. It's the very first chapter of the Bible. Here's what it says. Genesis 1 verse 27. It's on the display too. But I want you to know where it is in your Bible. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. What does this next phrase say? Male and female. How dare God say that? Male and female, he created them. God knows how to use pronouns. And if you ask God, what is a woman? He know, because he made them. Okay, in America, we could laugh and tease at that. But that's sad that we live in a day and age where there's someone on the Supreme Court that's going to be judging over the nation, federal, of things for like girls' sports. But she can't say who a woman is. What an abomination. Okay? So here's what the founding fathers that gave her and all the others in the Supreme Court and all of us as American citizens or residents here gave us this ability, this right, this freedom, this liberty. Genesis 1:27, they probably got it from this. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So what they're saying in the opening of the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal. We're created equal. Okay. Oh, but they didn't put women. They didn't put, you know, what about the other questionable genders? That's silliness, isn't it? They didn't have to write that. So no, we're not a woke church. And yes, we do get calls at times, will you know, marry two men, two women? No. No, we just won't. Why? Because we believe in the Bible. It's not a matter of, well, we'll pay you more or anything like that. We just won't do that here. Because we believe in God and we believe in the Bible. And how do we believe in the Bible? It's not because we're teaching it or reading it or telling you to tell it. It's because we want to apply it. Amen? And the church, not the building, the people, and the place here where we gather, we can have a church time here, but we can sit in the parking lot or go to Arby's across the street, and we can still have church fellowship. The church is the people, not the place. And the church is a pillar and ground of the truth. We have to stand on God's word of truth. Not my truth, your truth, our truth, or what society and the world wants to twist into what they call truth, but the Bible, God's word of truth. So God created us. By stating that all men are created equal, our founding fathers stated that it is a self-evident truth that we are all created. I want you to see what many people miss. It's a self-evident truth, is what they're saying. So tell that to people. If people that you know and come across here in America won't hear you talk about God, Jesus, or the Bible, read to them things that they may want to know about their country that they live in. That these founding fathers believed in a creator. It's obvious there's a God. Self-evident truth. It's obvious there's a God and that each of us were created. That's what they believed in. And that's what these 53 signers signed on. Let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, do you give your signature, what we call today in America because the founding fathers are John Hancock, we call that. Do you give your signature to the things that you do not believe in? Because legally later on they're going to say, well, this is your signature. Do you have to believe in what you sign for? Or are you just blindly signing? Oh, blank check, yes. I don't think any of you want to sign a blank check, right? So you have to believe in what you're going to sign and stand for. Do you think these founding fathers believed in it? Yeah, they're willing to put their lives on the line. And they knew it too. Why? Because as this got delivered or known about, their names were there. That meant their families and other people could also be sought after, persecuted, and killed. By who? By Great Britain and the king. I bet a lot of them were probably scared. Maybe they came home to their wives like, did you sign it? I was praying for you. Oh my gosh. So, 56. There's 56 signers. All 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, guess what they were? They were creationists. All 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were not evolutionists. They were not evolutionists. Let that sink in. They were not evolutionists. In other words, if they would have known what America would become, that in woke America, even when I grew up in the 1980s going to public school in California, they wouldn't have probably believed in their wildest dreams or nightmares that America would be teaching that little boys can be little girls, that the Bible and prayer would be kicked out of schools. And by the way, I used to work for American Bible Society for 10 years. I put together this chart. We had, I was the prison guy for 10 years. I was blessed to and honored to manage the nation's, if not the world's, largest prison Bible grant. We sent over 1 million Bibles into prisons and jails nationwide. And the chaplains knew, that's the source. We'd get them to them for free, and I'd have them turn in each of the chaplains, as well as they'd get the inmates to give testimonies now. I had these guys put them in a database. We had thousands and thousands of testimonies. It's great to be able to get that, to capture it. And I remember tracking and looking at the data. When you look at the dates of when prayer and the Bible were essentially kicked out of public schools or not, let's say, led by teachers, they're not taught in curriculum. When you track that generation, from about 6 years old, we start first grade in America. Make sense? Amen? You track that generation later on, when they became adults and graduated from school, that generation and subsequent generations started populating our jails and prisons. Now, I couldn't prove a direct causation relationship. This caused that, but I was able to put up charts and show that we have the best stats of all of America, if not the world, because we're able to see, hey, although these things got kicked out in this year, prayer and Bible was kicked out of school, and the jail and prison population at large grew in America immensely. We lead the world in many things, Coca-Cola, Ford, you know, many things, including prison population. About 5% of the nation's population at large, 5%, let that sink in, and it's growing, at one point in time has been incarcerated at some point in their life. Okay. Sad. It's really, really sad. And we would get these testimonies, tons, so many testimonies, and I would cry, I'd be reading them at my desk, and it was hard to do my job because we'd get these thousands and thousands of these forms filled out. And guess what many of them were that made me cry? I wish I was told what I learned in this book. And they're talking about a Bible. And we got the cost down so much that a paperback, prison-friendly Bible cost me $1.50 that I would tell donors, give me $3, and for those $3, we can put it in the hands of prisoners, prison-friendly Bible, paperback, correctional-friendly. It wasn't a cheap dollar Bible. That cost us about $1.50 to get to them, hand-delivered from the chaplain to the inmate or the person, the resident there. And I told them, $3 gets you two Bibles, and I guarantee one of those inmates will read that Bible every single day. Those are the stats we had. Prison Fellowship didn't have those stats. Billy Graham, we worked with all these large organizations. Nobody did, because we're collecting all those data. It got across the entire nation. It was immigration facilities, jails, prisons, juvenile, tons of places. It broke my heart, though, when we would read these letters from people that would say, that grew up like I did. I was never given a Bible. It's like, I've never learned these things. And guys had done, like, you know, stolen, committed murder, all these kind of things. And they never learned how to be good or, you know, follow God. They didn't know these things because they were taken from them. It's really sad. So these are some of the things that have happened in America. So I bring that side of things, coming from that background. It's like, oh my gosh, Lord, we need to get back to God, but get back to Jesus and the Bible. But notice this, by writing this, our founding fathers stated this self-evident truth, what they say, all of us have a creator. Our creator has endowed us. He's given us these free gifts, freely given to us, certain human rights. The rights are, as they wrote, unalienable. That means your rights are absolute. They're inherent. These rights cannot be given away. They can't be surrendered. They can't be taken away. They're inalienable rights, and you need to know that. Why? Because those that know that you don't know are going to try to take advantage of you. So you need to know that just being here in America, you have these rights. So remember, all 56 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, they were creationists. They signed their name to this, believing there's a God, that there's a creator, all of us are created equal. And they signed this document with a capital C for creator. They knew that God, nature's God, is made by their creator. God is our creator. They believed in this, that all of us are created equal. They believe that by our Creator creating us, God has entitled each human being to certain rights, and it can never be taken away from you. So just remember this. As you and I celebrate America's 250th birthday, and you're going to hear this throughout this country. You're going to see it on social media and through the media. Not just today, not just when this weekend's passed, not just when you go back to work or school or wherever you go throughout the week. You're going to hear this over and over. Being celebrated. It's a good thing. You have these rights, but we need to repent. America needs to repent to come back to God. You and I. Maybe some of the people in this church too. We need to repent to come back to God. Come back to the Bible and pray. Amen? All right. We're going to have to finish here soon. So go to the end here. If you go to the closing, read the whole booklet later on. At least read the Declaration of Independence, which sparked what you and I call the Constitution and the amendments, okay? So the Declaration of Independence came first. Turn a couple pages. Go to page 38. So at the closing paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, we have two more references to God here. I'm going to read it. It's here on the display. I'm just going to read the opening part of that paragraph you see on page 38 here, and then on the top of page 39. And it's here on the display. It says, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to," notice I color-coded this, "the Supreme Judge of the world." Who do you think they believe is the Supreme Judge? Is it the Supreme Court? No. The Supreme Judge of the world, this is God, the one they mentioned at the start of the document, "for the rectitude of our intentions." And then going down to the closing argument here, the last sentence of the Declaration of Independence, "and for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on," listen to this, "the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." All right, so the fourth and fifth references to God in the Declaration of Independence, by the way, you'll hear a lot of people say there's just four. Okay, I want to split this up and look at this. When you split up each word or phrase, it's actually five. So these founding fathers, maybe they got these things from Genesis 18:25. Genesis 18:25, Abraham said to God, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And this fifth reference, the protection of divine providence, maybe they got this from the Bible, from passages like Psalm 46. Psalm 46, you've heard this before. We love this one. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." And Psalm 33:20 says, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." So as they wrote this document, they're saying, hey, there's a supreme judge of the world. Not Great Britain, certainly not the king. He's the one that can judge over these things. And we're going to lean on this God, this supreme judge of the world, and his divine providence in this closing sentence or phrase here at the very end. They want to rely on his protection. Why? They're not relying on the king's protection. This is the statement that they're making so that you and I can live and abide and kind of swim in these freedoms, these liberties we have. And we need to be thankful for this. So the next time someone tells you that America wasn't founded upon a belief in God, sorry, don't believe a lie. Okay? Or as I used to say as a DJ, don't believe the hype. Okay? It ain't true. And if it's new, it ain't true. All right, so tell them they're wrong. God's referred to in the Declaration of Independence. Nobody could change that. Okay, revisionists to try to revise history, they can't change that. And you need to know. They might try to hide the truth from you. And this truth was hidden from me, and I believe is probably hidden from you in public school. Who here, being honest, this is the first time you've heard these things. And you grew up hearing these about these documents, but you never heard them. Same thing for me. Okay, until I started studying the Bible and getting into this, like, good Lord, I never even read this before. I was told what it was about, but not that they had a belief in you, God. Not certainly not from public school, not in the textbooks. So here's what happened 4 days after Continental Congress adopted the Declaration of Independence. Who here's heard of the Liberty Bell? 4 days after this document, the Declaration of Independence, was adopted by the Founding Fathers, the Liberty Bell was rung on July 8th, 1776 to announce the first public reading of this document that you and I call the Declaration of Independence. Liberty Bell, it's another one of the main symbols of America. What's another one? As New Yorkers, you got to know this. Statue of Liberty. Why is it called the Statue of Liberty? Oh, it was given to us by France, and they helped us. So, I mean, same thing. I didn't learn these things in school. So I haven't been there to see, but supposedly in her hand was written what? See, you guys, this was hidden from you. And we're New Yorkers. We should know this, right? Me too. I didn't know this until I started looking this up. There's a date written in her hand. What is it? July 4th, 1776. The Declaration of Independence. We, as New Yorkers, you know, we love these symbols of freedom, right? Of liberty. But we don't know what they're about. Here's what it says on the Liberty Bell. We actually went. I took this photo. I took my family there. This is in Philadelphia. And most of us as Americans, this is another thing that's hidden from you. You don't know that's written on the side of the Liberty Bell is the Bible. Leviticus 25, verse 10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. So I didn't want to just tell you that. I wanted to show you proof. I took this photo. We physically went to the city of Philadelphia. There's probably tons of people watching it right now. And there's a lot of people guarding it, too, because of right now. So next time someone says America wasn't founded upon a belief in God or belief in the Bible, sorry, they're liars. Okay, and you and I are people of truth, though. Amen? All right, let's all stand, please. We're going to close with a word of prayer. And for Children's Church, you can bring them in. They're done. We're going to have a time of communion. So today, of course, again, very different than our normal Sundays. We are celebrating in this country, in this state, in this city, we're celebrating Independence Day and July 4th weekend. But I want you to know, I feel burdened as your pastor, the pastor of this fellowship, I feel burdened and responsible that you would know why you have your freedoms here. And July 4th isn't just another party day. It's not just another, you know, throw a steak or a shrimp on the barbie or whatever it is. I grew up, it was another day to get out there with brewskis with the boys. That's not what it's about. Okay, for you and I to know that the founding fathers, they adopted this thing that we call the Declaration of Independence on what day? July 4th, 1776. That's why we celebrate July 4th. That's why you and I have these freedoms here in America, even the freedom of speech, even freedom of religion, even the freedom to go out in the subways if you want in New York City to preach about Jesus Christ. People might think you're crazy. You could be a John or Jane the Baptist, but you have that freedom to do that. You try to do that in other countries, they could take you and maybe publicly cane you or throw you in jail. You have that freedom here to do that. Exercise that freedom. It's given to you through Jesus Christ and through the rights that you have as an American. Amen. Father, thank you for these things, these truths that are self-evident. We know that you created us. We know that the founding fathers, they weren't evolutionists. They signed, they put their name on this document, knowing that they could be persecuted, hunted, and killed in their families. But they declared their independence from Great Britain, independence from the king, but dependence upon you. You were the supreme judge. They depended upon you to judge over them. They depended on your protection. And these things are written in the very founding document that spurred the growth of the other founding documents, Lord. Help us to know these things, God. But ultimately, they came from you. Thank you, Father, for your love for us, that you gave us true liberation and freedom through Jesus Christ, that we can have freedom physically in this land. But that's nothing if we die without knowing Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love for us, Father, that you sent your only son, Jesus, to die for sinners like all of us here in this room, Lord. You died for us. We declare to you we are sinners. Jesus, you are our Savior. You're a great high priest. You died on the cross for all of our sins, and we believe the sins of the world. You resurrected like you prophesied. You ascended into heaven. You poured out your spirit on that day that we call the day of Pentecost. And so we're born again, spirit-filled Christians, children of God, birthed into this family of God that we call the church. We ask, Father, can you please help us to exercise our rights that we have as Americans, but especially as children of God. And Lord, after today, as we get back to going through the Bible, Lord, help us to get back on track. But empower us, God, as we celebrate this July 4th weekend, this time of freedom, wherever you send us around the globe. Lord, help us to know that these freedoms came. Ultimately, they came from you, not a politician. Encourage us in your ways, and by your grace, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.